Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra with the WGXC Morning Show, and we have a busy morning show for you today. We are going to hear from Carmen Borgia from the Ukuleles Unleashed show in WGXC. They're doing a live performance for their show this Tuesday at the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill, covering the entirety of Harry Nilsson's The Point on ukuleles, and you can attend in person. You can also attend the Third Saturday's film series in Athens, the Riverfront Park, put on by the Athens Cultural Center. Board member Lisa Thomas will tell us about Nomadland playing there this weekend and other films this summer. They both talk to WGXC hosts Sella Graham and Tom DiPietro on the WGXC Morning Show this morning. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. It all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
News. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
You're listening to WGXC Accra. What up, Hudson Catskill? 90.7 FM.
On Saturday, July 22nd, turn out or tune in to Wave Farm for a day of percussion at the Marimba Tree in celebration of Charles Staub's Churl Proscenium. Charles Staub's Churl Proscenium will be the 13th installation at Wave Farm's Art Park. And on Saturday, July 22nd, it'll be inaugurated from noon to 6 p.m. with a day of percussionist performances. Those percussionists include Lisa Stoneberg and Leah Bowden, Zuki Legba and special guests, Chris Corsano and Bobby Previtt. And Saturday, July 22nd's performances are part of Upstate Art Weekend, which is at Wave Farm and many other locations. Tune in or turn out to a day of percussion at the Marimba Tree in celebration of Charles Staub's Churl Proscenium, Saturday, July 22nd from noon to 6 p.m. in the Wave Farm Art Park in Accra.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Sun Common, supporting vibrant communities across New York for over 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
Wave Farm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Sabisha Friedberg of New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra with the WGXC Daily News for Monday, July 17th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. The Daily Freeman reports that smoke from Canadian wildfires returns to the Hudson Valley a third time on July 17th, with New York's Department of Environmental Conservation issuing an air advisory for the lower Hudson Valley and other regions of the state, warning of fine particulate matter. The air quality is expected to be unhealthy for sensitive groups locally on July 17th. The DEC recommends staying indoors to reduce exposure and limiting strenuous activity when air quality is poor. Exposure can cause irritation of the eyes, nose, and throat, coughing, sneezing, runny nose, and shortness of breath. Anyone with medical issues such as asthma and heart disease and people with respiratory issues, children and seniors should stay indoors. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Roger Hennigan Gilson reports in the Times Union that southeastern Columbia County is now a medical desert, with only one doctor in a five-town area comprising about 120 square miles and the nearest rapid care clinic in Greenport, a half-hour drive away. And those five towns that lack medical services, Copaic, Hillsdale, Gallatin, Ankrum, and Taconic, have elderly populations with medical needs greater than the general population. Last year, Columbia Memorial Health closed a rapid care clinic in the area. The Hudson-based hospital also ended all birthing services in 2019. Columbia Memorial Health raised $25,000 in donations from local residents and got $350,000 in taxpayer money from the state to open the clinic in 2016 that closed last year. Copaic Town Supervisor Jeannie Mettler said the clinic's open hours became sporadic the past few years. CMH spokesperson Bill Van Slyke said the clinic was closed because the hospital was, quote, unable to secure a provider necessary to consistently operate rapid care services at Copaig, unquote. Van Slyke claims the closure is only temporary and that the clinic was, quote, an important part of CMH and the Albany Med Health System, and we remain committed to its operation, unquote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Matt Martinez reports in the Berkshire Eagle that all the rain that has fallen locally has led to more mowing, mushroom patches, and mosquitoes. Chris Horton, superintendent of the Berkshire County Mosquito Control Project, predicts that in about a week, many mosquitoes will be buzzing around locally. Dormant mosquito eggs laid in moist soil in low-lying areas and floodplains were activated in the rainwaters recently. How long it will take for the mosquitoes to develop depends on water depth, temperature, and the amount of food in a specific location. But Horton said all the rain means they are coming soon. Quote, this is a worst-case scenario for us, unquote, Horton said. Removing standing water is the only way to reduce the presence of mosquitoes. Horton's group tests local mosquitoes for eastern equine encephalitis and West Nile virus, but so far not malaria, which was recently reported in Florida. The arrival of those diseases can't be predicted precisely, but Horton does offer one guess about local conditions. Quote, mosquitoes will be numerous, unquote, Horton said, quote, guaranteed, unquote. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Monday, July 17th. We are 54.2% of the way through the year. There are 60 days left until the autumnal equinox. Local early morning temperatures range from 63 in Medusa to 71 in Red Hook. Regional average soil temperature is 71 degrees. Pollen levels for today will be medium. Today will be hot. Dew points will be in the upper 60s, making it feel very humid. Outside becomes uncomfortable after 9 a.m. A high temperature of 88 hits at 2 p.m. Cloud cover will be moderate. UV exposure will be an issue for some. Make sure to protect from the sun and stay hydrated. Overnight, temperatures dip to 69 degrees. Still pretty muggy. Tomorrow, rain returns. I mean, of course it does. It falls all day and we get a high temperature of 83 degrees that will linger most of the afternoon. 64 degrees overnight takes us into a dry-looking Wednesday with a high of 82. Thursday, more rain, high of 84. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 3:22 a.m., low tide at 10:14 a.m., high tide again at 3:56 p.m., and low tide once again at 10:06 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 75 degrees, and the tide strength will be high. Sunset today will be at 8:15 p.m., and sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:31 a.m. Looking way up, we see Anhadouken's strike occurred yesterday. Another could occur today. Don't expect good cell phone coverage or fully operational GPS devices. The sun is angry, and X-class flare chances are at 25%. Plasma winds will be average at 493 kilometers per second with a thin density of 2 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible till dark with fair conditions below 14 megahertz overnight. Aurora chances are low but present, and that is thanks to the coronal mass ejections. The current sunspot number is 99. This has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate, who are asking for your help once again to keep the station going. Head on over to WGXC.org, check out what your neighbors are up to, and while you're there, hit that donate button. It's a quick and easy way to feel good about helping your community, especially if you become a sustaining supporter.
Say, Dad, I have an upset stomach.
I've got just the thing. Dr. Whitaker's Larded Atoms. Dr. Whitaker's Larded Atoms combine the smooth, pleasing flavor of lard with the soothing qualities brought to us through science.
It smells funny.
That's our special ingredient, uranium, the scent of the powerful atom. It's strong, but that's how you know it's working. Feeling better yet, sweetheart?
Sure am. Thanks, Dad.
Don't thank me. Thank science.
Dr. Whitaker's Larded Atoms in 5 or 10 ounce bottles at your local grocer.
If you think you're smart, then use your cranium. Start each morning with uranium.
Next, Tony Fallon, WGXC's Irish DJ, updates us on the goings-on in East Durham from his The Irish Show on Sunday night.
And we heard, unfortunately, during the week, too, that Mary Malley passed away in Florida. And Mary was very involved with the Knights of Columbus and many other church activities here in East Durham for many, many years. She and her husband, and he passed away last year too. So I just wanted to mention that sad news. Let's see, we also have the Irish Arts Week taking place starting on Monday, and it's at the Michael J. Quill Irish Sports and Cultural Centre. Every night they will have a concert up there from until 9:30, from 7 to 9:30, I think. And then after that, all the musicians spread out around all the establishments in East Durham, and there's music all night long. Sometimes it stretches into the next day as well. Sometimes I've heard of people who don't go to sleep for 24 hours or thereabouts. So anyway, there'll be some famous musicians from all over the world there. Brian Conway will be there on fiddle. Let's see, Kathleen Keneally on whistle. Paddy Furlong on the accordion. I can't mention everybody. There's so many people. Brendan Dolan on the piano. Let's see, Aisling Lyons on the harp. Pauline Keneally on the banjo. John Blake on the bouzouki. Boron Anna Colleton. And numerous other people will be there entertaining and teaching. So if you want to register for classes to learn something, send it to CatskillIrishArtsWeek.com. CatskillIrishArtsWeek.com. And by the time you hear this on Tuesday, it will be already on. The week will already have started. And there'll be plenty, as I said, plenty of entertainment every night. We're even working on potentially recording our program over there as well. So one more time, you register at CatskillIrishArtsWeek.com, all small letters, CatskillIrishArtsWeek.com. And by the time this program is on, there will have been registration, everything imaginable taking place this evening in East Durham. So you may not be late if you get over there as you're listening to this program.
Next, we're going to hear from the Master Gardeners at the Cornell Cooperative Extension. They have a podcast called Nature Calls, Conversations from the Hudson Valley. And each week on WGXC, we'll hear different segments from the show focused on local gardening and gardening for the time of year it is.
Welcome back to Nature Calls, Conversations from the Hudson Valley. We're your hosts, Jean Thomas
and Teresa Golden.
Today we'll be talking with Linda Levitt about container gardening. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you, Jean and Teresa.
Now, Linda, you're our container expert among the Master Gardeners. Could you explain how you acquired that title?
Well, it's interesting because our yard is full of animals, deer, rabbits, woodchucks, and I decided that I needed to do something to combat that because I couldn't have any flowers in the garden because they would eat everything. So I started using containers up against the house. Believe it or not, last year they started coming up on the deck and eating those too. So I guess I didn't win in that. But also the other thing too is I like to change every year. I like to change color schemes. I like to introduce new plants, experiment. And with containers, you can do that. You can don't plant it in the garden. You're able to change it from year to year. So that's really how I got started on it.
So let's start with the basics. I suspect that a container garden is a bit more complicated than simply tossing some dirt into a pot and stuffing in a few plants that look pretty together. So let's start with, how do you select the perfect container?
Well, what you have to do is you have to start with, what is your spacing? Is it up against the house? Is it out in the garden? Where is it? And then what happens is, what is my light? If it's in the driveway, obviously you don't want a metal container because it's going to absorb the heat and you're going to need to water like all the time. So what you need to do is you have to figure out that, first of all, the container has to hold the soil securely. So whatever you're going to use, make sure that the soil is able to stay in the container securely. And it must be watertight, but you have to have proper drainage. If you have wood containers especially, make sure it can resist rot and corrosion. So you have to be careful with that. In fact, a wood container, you might want to line with a plastic liner so that way, but still put drainage holes in it or drainage however you want to use it. You want to look at your space requirements, as I mentioned. You don't want a container that's too large in a very small space. And what would the temperature changes be? This is what I was talking about. Are you leaving it out for the winter? Are you putting it in the driveway? Now, one of the things that works very well, if you don't want to move the containers, you're going to want to have a composite or some kind of plastic container that can withstand the winter weather. If you put in a terracotta or a glazed pot of any sort, what's going to happen is if you leave it out in the wintertime, it's going to crack with the frost back and forth. So you have to be really careful. The other thing, too, is the weight. You obviously don't want a cement container if you're going to try and move it. And that's really, really important. So you have to be careful with that. But if it's too light, is it going to get blown over with the wind? So that is something to consider, too. If it's too dark, as I mentioned, you know, and it's in your driveway, it's going to be a problem for watering and things like that. So you have to be careful with the color and, of course, the material. And so those are really how you choose it. Glazed pottery will crack in the winter, as I mentioned, and so you have to be real careful when you do that. Terracotta is probably my least favorite, only because you have to water it all the time and it will absorb the water away from the plant. So you have to be careful with that. So basically, that's how you would select your container.
Okay, so now you've selected your container. How do you get it ready for actually planting?
So what happens is, if it's a brand new container, it's pretty clean. But if you do want to clean it and make sure it's absolutely disease or insect free, you will clean the container with 5 parts of water and 1 part of bleach. You must get the container ready by putting in, if it's a composite, like a plastic container, you might want to drill holes in the bottom for drainage. And if you're unable to do that, what I've done in the past is I've used either stone in the bottom or I've used a cracked terracotta pot. And for those, you know, you can take a terracotta pot, break it in two, and just put it and use it at the bottom for drainage. The other thing I've done is if the pots are really, really large, I've taken a really inexpensive plastic pot, turned it upside down to take up space, but make sure that I have holes in the turned over pot to make sure that you get your drainage. But that will take up space because people ask me a lot, how do you take up space in a large container? And that's one of the ways I do that.
I know that one. They call it dummying up. I think there's a reason I know that one.
The mistake I made one year is I put logs in the bottom, and of course, I guess the good thing was it rotted and it was natural mulch. However, it rotted, so everything started to sink. So that really wasn't good. What you're going to do is you're going to cover the drainage, whether it's just holes or the stone or whatever you're using. You're going to want to cover it with a piece of landscape cloth, a screen, or some burlap to keep the soil from going out the bottom and losing your soil during the season. If you're unable to empty the pot from the previous year, and I use my pots over and over year to year, I at least take out 1/3 of the soil and I put brand new soil in because you want the nutrients from the new soil to, you know, to nourish the plants. So what I do is I just take out that soil and I use it in the compost bin or I use it in a new container. I'll put that at the bottom and then put new soil on top. So that's how you're going to get your containers ready for planting.
As gardeners, we all know the importance of soil. So how do you select the right kind of soil for your container?
Well, the best thing to do is you're not going to want to use garden soil. You're not going to go into your vegetable garden and dig out some soil because it's going to compact really easily. And the other thing, too, is does it have enough nutrients? The one thing about us planting our containers probably, you know, now coming up in the spring and lasting through the summer is that we really want nutrients in there. And if you have compacted soil that comes from the garden, it's probably not going to have the nutrients. So the best thing you want to do is probably go to your garden center and get some really nice sterile potting soil. And there's so many out there to choose from. And so you can just make sure that you want to do that. That's got a mixture of not only soil, but different perlite and different things that's going to keep your moisture and also your nutrients. The soil is going to be sterile also in the bag. And that's really very important. You don't want to introduce any kind of insects or bugs or any kind of plant disease. So that you want to start with sterile soil. And it also offers really good air and drainage. So your best bet is to just go to the market and get yourself some bagged soil.
Okay, so I've got my bagged soil in my container, and everything's lined like it's supposed to be. Now what?
So before you plant, this is the steps that I usually take. First of all, the plants that you're going to put into the container, you're going to want to water them thoroughly before you put them in the pot. You're going to fill the container about 80% with the soil, And the potting mix that you're going to use that we just talked about should be moist but not wet. You don't want it to be super dry. So if your bag of soil is very dry, you're going to want to pour some water in, mix it around, and make sure that it has a dampness to it, but not like mud. You certainly don't want to use it if it's muddy. You're going to remove the plants from the pots. Now be careful with this because you're going to want to push them out of the pot rather than pulling. Do not pull the plants out. They're going to break the root systems and things like that. However, when you do take them out of the pot, you're going to want to loosen the roots with your fingers, a fork, or a slice with you're going to slice it with a sharp knife or a sterile gardening tool. So you're going to want to stimulate the roots and make sure that they're ready to go. So just don't take it out of the pot, kind of mix them around. And the best tool in your bag is your hands.
Amen.
So let's back up a bit. How do you pick your plants?
Well, the first thing you have to do is you're going to figure out where am I putting this pot. You're going to have to make sure that you are going to have sunny. If it's a sunny location, you're going to want sunny plants. If you have a shade location, you're going to definitely want to make sure that all plants tolerate shade. When you go to the garden center, you're going to find that they have a little tag that says, you know, this needs sun, it needs water, so it's going to tell you all the different characteristics of that particular plant's needs. So be careful with that. So you go to the garden center, you pick your plants based on a couple of different things. One is height. You're going to want to put a plant that has some height to it. You're going to want a plant that's going to fill in the middle, and you're going to want a plant that's going to spill over the sides. We call that spiller, filler, and thriller. So your thriller is going to be your focal point. It's going to be a tall plant. It's going to be a bold plant. It's going to be something that's going to really catch your eye. The thing about the filler is you're going to want to have a gradual descent from the top plant to the bottom plant, as opposed to, I've done this before, I've had a really tall plant and a really short plant, and there's nothing in between, and it doesn't look as well. So you're going to want to have a gradual descent down from the top to the bottom. So what I've done in the past is I've either matched color, or I've either matched leaf texture, and what I find is the best colors together in a pot are burgundy, lime green, and orange. They look absolutely terrific together, and a lot of times I will match the color of the leaf with the color of the flower, or sometimes I'll match the color of the flower to another coordinating color. So there's a lot of different things. Be creative. Use your imagination and figure out what works well together. You'd be surprised at the number of plants that do very well together that you wouldn't think. So what you're going to want to do is make sure not only are you coordinating color, but you're also working with texture. Texture is very, very important in that you eat a ruffly leaf, a leaf that's very smooth. It's really quite interesting. And what a lot of times I've done is I've actually put vegetable plants within my containers. I've also used annuals, perennials. And if you use perennials in your container, what you're going to find is at the end of the season, you just plop it in your garden and you've not wasted the money by buying them, because perennials tend to be a little bit more expensive. So that's, it's really just use your imagination and you'll be surprised. But again, I think that burgundy works extremely well with the color orange. The other thing too is you want to use grasses. If you can incorporate some kind of grass into your container, what happens is the grass has a lot of movement. So in the wind, it kind of moves with the wind and it looks really nice. So a lot of times I will use grasses. The other thing too, by using a grass, is come the fall, the grass is still alive. It's probably at its peak at that point. And then what I do is remove the summer plants, put in fall plantings, and now I've got half of my container done because I've got the grass and the fall plants in the same thing, and it works really well.
That was an excerpt of an interview from the Nature Calls Conversations from the Hudson Valley podcast from the Master Gardeners of the Cornell Cooperative Extension for Columbia and Greene Counties. You can hear the full episode at the Cornell Cooperative Extension webpage or in the WGXC archives at wgxc.org or at ccecolumbiagreen.org.
Super. Yo, it's an elephant in the living room. Can we address it? It's iridescent. It don't look happy. A stampede will be the end of you. So let's move orderly toward the dance floor and begin to drop it low, hopping the bubble and pop it. Letting go is a heavy rock and the struggle is obvious. Heaven knows I need a break from the daily monotonous activities. My soliloquy pay me in profit because I make you move. I shout when them tell me to keep my voice down. Voice down. I'm out when they tell me to keep it inside. What now? When gravity tries to keep me on the ground, I touch clouds. A riot can never seem to quiet down. I shout loud. When everything else seems to cease, I know he keep it moving. When giants come round on 85-4, he keep it moving. I can't stop, won't stop, from even with the bank out. I'm on top, they try to slow me down, but that really ain't my style. You can't stop my flow, he keep it moving. Now just move like your body want to. Everybody move like your body ought to. I won't make it to three, better party on two. And when that body close, put the party on you. It's all a bad joke, I might chuckle once, but it's a roller coaster, I'm buckled up. Fuck the bucket, I'm kicking dust, stick them up. Better listen, suckers, duck in my trick and tuck. Giving up, is it written up the surface without touching heaven plus? I'm an ninja busting backflips on the mattress. Wait up, listen.
Yeah.
I shout when them tell me to keep my voice down, voice down. I'm out when they tell me to keep it inside. What now? When gravity tries to keep me on the ground, I touch clouds. A riot can never seem to quiet down. I shout loud. When everything else seems to cease, I know he keep it moving. When giants come round on 85-4, he keep it moving. I can't stop, won't stop, won't stop. With the bank up, I'm on top. They try to slow me down, but that really ain't my style. You can't stop my flow, he keep it moving. I just move like your body want to. Everybody move like your body ought to. I won't make it to three, better party on two. And bring that body close to the party on.
Picture me a literate, still composing a symphony. I'm blinded by the light, but still in control of my energy. I'm dining with my demons, pouring mimosas to toast. Seeing my growth and I'm coasting, heading toward the ocean, it's gleaming.
With everything else seems to cease, I know he keep it moving. When giants come round on 85-4, he keep it moving. I can't stop, won't stop, from Inglewood to Bangkok, I'm on top. They try to slow me down, but that really ain't my style. You can't stop my growth, we keep it moving.
Me and my arrow, straighter than narrow. Wherever we go, everyone knows it's me and my.
Tune in or turn out to the July 18th edition of the Ukuleles Unleashed show on WGXC. This month it is broadcast live from the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill. Host Carmen Borgia and John Sturman are doing a reading and singing Harry Nilsson's The Point on ukuleles and then doing their live radio show in front of an audience at the Bridge Street Theater. Admission is free to this WGXC event. Turn out or tune in to the Bridge Street Theater, 7:45 to 10 p.m. on Tuesday, July 18th at wgxc.org/listen and 90.7 FM. Stay tuned to WGXC today for all sorts of interesting programming. Hop on the Afrosonic Taxi at 10 a.m. with Sidi Sam, Yasser Tejada, and Jacoba Velez. Brendan Donegan is playing favorites with Tortoise at 11 a.m. live from the WGXC Hudson studio. Then Kronos Quartet, C. Ryder, and Pharoah Sanders are among the featured artists on the Deep Three show at noon after the local news. At 4 p.m., Kieran Riley speaks with Nick Payne and Sam Sebrin about their art show this month at the Hudson House Gallery on Warren Street. J.D. Eisman is live in Acre at 8 p.m. with The Spell. And Nancy Giles and Carmen Borgia are live from Worthy Soundworks in Catskill at 10 p.m. on The Mosquito on WGXC 90.7 FM, a two-hour variety show with stand-up comedy music and more on WGXC 90.7 FM. Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
So just this morning, July 13th, Noelle Diamond hosted Drag Story Hour at the Bethlehem Public Library. Ahead of this morning's reading, there was controversy as to whether it would take place with a Board of Trustees meeting that brought many supporters and critics to speak on whether this type of programming is suitable for a library. You can hear Mark Dunley's report on this on our website from a couple days ago. Drag queen Noelle Diamond joins me now in the studio to reflect on this morning. Welcome to Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Hello, thank you. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
So after all of that, what was this morning like? What took place?
I think that, yeah, it was very intense leading up to it. But then the actual day of today, I think, went very smoothly. Of course, there were some people who did show up in protest, but there was beyond more supporters. So overall, I had a great experience.
So for those who don't know, what is Drag Story Hour? What is it actually?
Sure. Yeah, there's definitely some misconceptions about it. It's honestly just a drag queen who is reading children's stories to children and singing some children's songs like Wheels on the Bus, things like that. It is programming specifically catered towards children. I know that sometimes there's some confusion that it would have content that would be like in an adult drag show, which is not the case by any means at all. So it is definitely all children's programming. It's just presented by a drag queen.
You mentioned school bus, and I heard you had a fabulous outfit. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I was dressed like a school bus. I tend to lean towards more like campier, like cartoonish type of things. And so I
just... And campy, for listeners who may not know?
Yeah, of course. Campy is just sort of like over the top, extreme expressions of things. So... yeah, so I just had this idea of, like, I love to sing Wheels on the Bus. I just think it's a very fun song. I loved it when I was a kid as well. And I was like, what if I did it as a bus? And I was like, is that a crazy idea? And I was like, it kind of is, so I'm going to do it. Yeah, so I made a little school bus outfit. It's like a little dress, and it has like a little windshield. It has like little lights. It has a license plate with my name on it. So, yeah, I just thought that would be something that would be fun for the kids.
Lavender?
That's awesome. That's all I'm over here thinking.
Well, then I'll jump.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So why now? Why is drag all of a sudden a hot issue for conservatives? And is New York really all that different from the rest of the country where it maybe has made louder waves?
Okay, so I have, just to give some backstory, so I've been doing Drag Story Hours for about like 4 or 5 years now, and I started at the Albany Public Library, I want to say in like 2018 maybe, and there was backlash then as well, for sure, mostly online, and then the actual day of the event, it was pretty neutral, which was pretty similar to what happened today. I think that there's just been more popularity in general with drag performers, with shows like RuPaul's Drag Race. I think that it's becoming more mainstream, and then with that comes Drag Story Hour, which is, you know, it's been around for years now, but it's still a fairly new concept, and I think that now that it's becoming more popular, of course, it's going to come with more criticism. So it feels like it's all kind of happening all at once, but I think it's kind of been a snowball effect of, you know, increasing popularity and then, of course, increasing criticism as well.
Now, we mentioned the board meeting, and then you said you've been getting some criticism. What does that look like?
Okay, so... it's so surreal, really, like, just because I just feel like I'm a normal person. And then to, like, I, like, watched a video of the board meeting and to have all of these people, you know, like, talking about me specifically is very interesting. But, yeah, so there's definitely been comments online, things like that. People who will find my Facebook page and then comment on certain things, or people taking photos from my page to then repost. It's a lot of cherry picking of photos of me in maybe outfits that I wouldn't wear to a story hour by any means, but sharing that to sort of, you know, create fear that that might be something that I would present to children instead of a school bus. But yeah, so definitely.
So just
some
to
of
reemphasize,
that,
it's always children appropriate attire.
Yes, exactly. For sure. But yeah, so people, you know, sharing some of my photos. I've done like spooky Halloween makeup before, like in October. And so people, you know, saying that that's like a photo of me worshiping the devil, which is also not the case. It's just like a Halloween costume. But yeah, people just sort of cherry picking things like that. It's the majority of it. There was a couple people who actually showed up to the event. None of them really spoke to me directly. One person did come to me, but he spoke very respectfully to me in that moment. So, but that's sort of what it looks like. It's a lot of stuff online, not so much in person, which is good because the last thing that we need is for kids to show up and be afraid or feel unsafe in that space.
Mm.
Yeah.
I heard that some people think drag is misogynistic. How would you respond to someone with that point of view? I assume that they were thinking about it in terms of stereotypes of a certain woman.
Sure.
But it's drag is very diverse, right?
Yeah, drag is incredibly diverse. And the more that I do it, the more that I learn, like, how many aspects there are to it. I think a lot of it does have to do with, you know, intention is part of it as well. I never feel that I'm getting into drag to make a mockery of women by any means. It's an expression of art and of myself. And if anything, it's to celebrate all of those things. So that's how I personally feel about it. I don't know that I've really ever been to a drag show where people are there specifically to make fun of women. But that's, I don't know, that's how I feel about that specifically. Yeah.
Well, we only have about, well, I guess we have like 3 minutes left, but you mentioned the art form, and that is a huge part of drag. How do you develop a persona? And maybe in addition, if you can speak to other people who have designed personas, because like we said, it's very diverse. What does that look like? What goes into it?
Okay, yeah. So I will be so honest with you. My persona in drag is really not that different than me out of drag. And it's something that I think a lot of people get kind of hung up on of, well, who am I going to be like as this character? And some people do that and they do it really well. But I think a lot of people feel the need to do that when really like they can just be themselves. I'm myself, maybe a little bit bubblier in that moment. But otherwise, you know, it's really not all that different. It's really just an extension of who I am. I don't play the part of somebody else when I'm in drag. But there's people who do.
Yeah. So what are people missing? What are the naysayers missing about drag?
I think that there's definitely people who, you know, don't fully understand it. And, you know, again, think that the content in a drag story hour is going to be the same content in an adult drag show. And honestly, I think that a lot of these people probably haven't even been to an adult drag show. So do they, maybe they not, they don't actually have like the full experiences. It's sort of going based off of stereotypes of what they think a drag queen would be. That's probably a big part of it, is just the fear of the unknown.
So what are some other ways that Noelle Diamond comes out around Albany in the Capital Region? Where can we see you?
Yeah, for sure. So I really do two main things when I'm in drag, which would be the drag story hours. And I also do drag brunches as well in Troy. And I do those about every like 3 months.
And where can listeners get more info?
Yeah, of course. So I will post a lot of that information on my Instagram, which is Noelle.diamond. Noelle is spelled Noelle.diamond. And that's where people can find all that stuff. And I'll post any relevant information for upcoming events.
Lavender, did you have anything to add?
I do have one more question since we have just a minute left.
Sure.
So I recently learned about a term, drag king, which I had not heard before. Are you familiar with that term, and can you kind of explain it for, again, those who are against drag or just unfamiliar with drag?
Yeah, just in general. So actually a lot of people are going into drag performer. It just is more inclusive. It just talks about somebody who does drag. But yeah, so the term of like drag queen most of the time would refer to a man who's dressing like a woman, and then a drag king would refer to a woman who's dressing like a man. However, drag is so incredibly diverse that there's just an endless amount of possibilities of like women who just dress also like women, but a more exaggerated version of that, men who still will dress like men. It's really just like playing with gender expression, playing with costuming, all of that sort of stuff. For me, a big part of it is I just want to look completely different than I do when I present as a man. And I also like to look more cartoonish. I want to look over the top. I want to look like a drawing of a person rather than, like, I don't want to actually look like a woman. I want to look like a cartoon of a woman, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of just going, like, over the top with that.
This has been so fun. I hope you'll come back.
Yeah, of course.
Noel Diamond, thank you so much for coming on the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and Philip Grant up in Rensselaer County and I are bringing you the WGXC Congressional Report, full of stories about what the candidates and representatives from the New York 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional districts have been up to this past week. Go to WGXC.org in the WGXC newsroom for complete coverage of your congressional representative.
Nancy Kern reports for Columbia Green Media that Representative Mark Molinaro listened to farmers worried about climate change, concerned about milk prices, and nervous over reductions in supplemental nutrition assistance program benefits at a listening session at the Columbia County Fairgrounds on July 7th. Molinaro said of the progress on the bill, quote, "The work we're doing is being done in a bipartisan fashion," unquote. Molinaro, a Republican who represents the 19th Congressional District, said that he was raised by a single mother who got food stamps and that he has no plans to make cuts in SNAP in the farm bill. But that doesn't mean he doesn't want to add work limits to benefits. Quote, "We want the government agencies to return to prioritizing helping people get independence and not merely having the state process the check," unquote, Molinaro said. More about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
New York State of Politics reports that Representative Pat Ryan says it will take some time to clean up all the damage from storms this week that left one woman dead. The lower Hudson Valley, including much of Ryan's 18th congressional district, were hit hard by the storms on July 9th and 10th. He said, quote, "West Point, where I went to school, and the surrounding areas were the epicenter of the entire storm. In just a few hours, they had over 8 inches of rain, which normally takes an entire season or summer to fall. The area was absolutely overwhelmed. There are several larger senior apartment complexes, one in particular, where almost all the seniors are without a home, many for potentially months. That's the thing. This is not going to be a quick cleanup. We are in it for the long haul," unquote. And while West Point is asking the Army Corps of Engineers for help, the Federal Emergency Management Agency will help others. And Ryan says he's, quote, "marshaling the full force and power of the federal government to get recovery dollars. We are assessing the damage now. It's going to be significant, tens of millions of dollars, if not more, in damages to bridges, roads, homes, and businesses," unquote. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics.
Kevin Frey at New York State of Politics reports that New York Democrats will attempt to coordinate their elections in 2024 after losing several seats in the House of Representatives in 2022. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand said of the cooperation, quote, "It lifts up the entire Democratic brand. It helps the first-time candidates with how to get your message out," unquote. Republicans flipped the 19th congressional district in 2022 and almost won in the 18th district, too, in the Hudson Valley. Democrats lost 6 seats in 2022 in the House in districts won by President Joe Biden. Representative Hakeem Jeffries said they are focusing on reversing that, saying, quote, "I have never seen this level of cooperation and coordination in my time in electoral office," unquote. And about cooperation from Governor Kathy Hochul, Jeffries said, quote, "I've never seen this sort of outreach when anyone was governor, even though they always indicated a willingness to be helpful to the congressional delegation," unquote. The House Majority PAC announced in February a $45 million fund to elect Democrats in New York's congressional contest. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that an appellate court on July 13 sided with Democrats and said congressional lines should be redrawn in New York. In 2022, Republicans flipped several New York congressional districts their way, helping them regain a majority. Political observers believe if Democrats get the districts redrawn the way they want, they could hold the 18th congressional district and flip the 19th congressional district in 2024 voting. Republican John Faso, who used to represent the 19th district in Congress, said of the Democrats, quote, "They're trying to eliminate a state redistricting plan that has the most competitive districts in the United States of America," unquote. Now the case goes to New York's top court, now led by Governor Kathy Hochul's recent appointment, Chief Judge Rowan Wilson. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics.
This has been the WGXC Congressional Report, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives and candidates for the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional seats in New York. Go to WGXC.org for more information.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts that our pattern of warm and humid weather with showers and thunderstorms continues this week. Monday should be mostly sunny with a high of 86 and a west wind 5 to 7 miles per hour spinning local windmills. Monday night, partly cloudy skies are forecast with a 20% chance of showers and possibly a thunderstorm after 2 a.m. Then on Tuesday, there's a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Otherwise, it'll be partly sunny with a high of 83, a low around 61. And then Wednesday should be sunny with a high of 81 and a low around 60. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM Acre, Catskill, Hudson. Solar-powered radio for open ears.
From the 2022 album Warping All By Yourself, this is Raw Food from Wet Tuna from Brattleboro.
Growing on.
You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM.
When you walk through the streets of the city where we live, and I'm far away, I am with you even still. When you sleep in the bed in the house where we live, and I'm far away, I am with you even still.
Don't make a noise, don't make a sound. You know I'll always be around. I'll walk beside you in the street and keep you safe, your soul to keep. Cause you can always count on me. Try counting, baby, 1, 2, 3. And I'll be there to hold your hand. Cause you're my boy and I'm your man.
And I'll be there to hold your hand. Cause you're my boy and I'm your man.
We'll make the storm around the world. 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 We'll make the storm around the world.